You're listening to the Erica Duran Show, Freedom-Based Lifestyle Design Radio, Episode 37. Monetize Your Passions with Lisa Woodruff.
Aloha, and welcome to the Erica Duran Show, Freedom-Based Lifestyle Design Radio. Productively live and work from anywhere in the world. Now, here's your host, Erica Duran.
Aloha, iikomo mai, escape artists. Hello and welcome. This is the 37th episode of the Erica Duran Show, Freedom-Based Lifestyle Design Radio. This episode is proudly sponsored by my Aloha Strategy Session. Want to design your own freedom-based luxury lifestyle? Making a consistent $5,000 to $20,000 per month while only working about 3 days a week? Sign up for the complimentary Aloha Strategy Session at ericaduran.co/aloha. Well, we will be back to the Hilton Waikoloa Village Resort soon. But in case you missed the last few episodes, we are now recording live from Orange County, California. Yes, back in the OC, and we are at the beautiful Surf and Sand Resort in Laguna Beach. The one-stop shop for all the links and resources we mentioned in this episode, you can go to ericaduran.co/37, including the link to join our private Facebook group, Freedom-Based Luxury Lifestyle Entrepreneurs. Well, today you will meet Lisa Woodruff. Lisa shares her organizational tips, her entrepreneurial spirit, and humor to encourage other moms on her blog, Organize365.com. She has authored multiple books, blogs, and podcasts for women who want to get organized and organized women who want to help others live a more organized life. Lisa is a professional organizer and business coach who has helped hundreds of women successfully organize and monetize their businesses. Her podcast and training information are available at organize365.com and professionalorganizersthinktank.com. So yes, we've had several professional organizers on the show. And if you didn't know, I was actually a certified professional organizer myself for about 15 years. Then my business started shifting to where more people were asking me how to organize their businesses and how to get clients and how to market online rather than how to organize. So I also started traveling full-time, and that doesn't really lend well to the in-person organizing so much. I did do some virtual organizing, but found it, you know, my business just morphing a little bit out of that direction. It can still be covered in a VIP day experience intensive, but it's not really the norm now for me. But I have many contacts, as you can imagine, and colleagues in the business still, and I just love that industry. So there you have it. Organizers as guests happens. And what you might be thinking is that I also coach a lot of professional organizers and entrepreneurs, so why in the world would I have someone on the show that does kind of the same thing? Well, there's many reasons. One, I don't really believe in competition. This is such an abundant world, and there are more than enough clients for everyone, especially when we are running such unique businesses with our personalities and stories infused into them. Two, all coaches offer very different levels of support and services and packages. Some people will be really attracted to my type of business and personality and delivery. And some will be attracted to a totally different type of personality and totally different type of business model. And three, I love showcasing just how many ways someone can present and deliver relatively the same subject matter, or how many different ways you can take a business that is traditionally in person and make it an online business. So there you go. No competition here. There's more than enough people, more than enough clients for everyone. So in this episode, you're going to learn how to turn a gift or passion into an actual business and the first steps people should take to do that. So getting out of that expensive hobby mode and into business mode. We're going to learn what Lisa sees as the biggest challenge to professional organizers. We are going to learn what Lisa sees as the biggest challenge to professional organizers, or really any entrepreneur for that matter. Growing your business and how you can overcome it. And Lisa has a very active and fairly large Facebook community. Online communities are really hot right now. What specific actions did she take to grow her group, and how does she encourage people to be active and participate in her community? You know, ever since Facebook changed their algorithm and your page posts aren't being seen very much, if at all, groups have become a really important way for us to all connect. So, of course, after the break, we'll have our WikiWiki round with rapid-fire questions. Remember, you can find all the links and resources mentioned in this episode at ericaduran.co/37. Now, your freedom is waiting. Let's not waste any time. Aloha, escape artists! E komo mai. Today we have Lisa on the show. Lisa, are you there?
I am. Oh, thank you.
Thank you for taking the time out in your busy schedule to talk to us all today. Where in the world are you calling from?
I am in Cincinnati, Ohio, in the United States.
Wow. And what's the weather like there today?
It's actually nice and hot today. Oh. It's been a really cool summer.
Yeah, perfect. That's great. And a lot of people maybe on the listeners here don't know you yet. Could you give a short bio of yourself? Just introduce yourself.
Oh, sure. I'm a professional organizer who loves to help women get organized. And I believe that organization is a learned skill. So I teach that in three different ways. Like in Cincinnati, Ohio, I've created a team of organizers and we'll come in and do the organizing for you. Or if you want to get yourself organized, you can go to my website, Organize365, where I use my teaching skills to teach you how to organize your home in 40 weeks. Or if you've done that and now you want to help other people be organized by being an organizer yourself, I have a new group called Professional Organizers Think Tank, which will help you learn how to become a professional organizer like I am.
Perfect. And organizing has a soft spot in my heart. I was a certified professional organizer for 15 years before I took off and took my show on the road. So I love this business and I love helping people through the business and everything too. Sometimes I find the organizers, they don't always grasp the online marketing aspects of it. So they tend to ask me those kind of questions.
Right. And it is a whole nother business model, the online part versus mm-hmm. the, you know, bricks and mortar in-home part.
Right. It's completely different, but the same basics, I guess, the same support to clients.
Yes.
And what does a freedom-based lifestyle mean to you?
Well, you know, I've been an entrepreneur for 20 years. I started in direct sales and I was also teaching. And I always knew that I wanted a direct sales business, you know, Mary Kay, Tupperware, that kind mm-hmm. of thing. Because when I had kids, I wanted to be able to stay home with my kids. But I love working and I just have so many ideas. So I started in direct sales because I needed the flexibility to be able to stay home with our kids. Well, my kids are now 14 and 15, but they have a lot of extra needs, as all children do. I mean, children come with more needs than you realize when you know you sign up for the parenting thing. But I have a lot of driving, like 30 hours a week of driving for my kids, lots of doctor's appointments. So a freedom-based lifestyle to me means the flexibility to be where my kids need me to be because they have nobody else, but also to be able to be compensated for my expertise and not necessarily my time because I need to be paid more than $10 an hour working or we'll never be able to meet the needs that our kids have.
Right. So we have a lot in common up to the opting in on the kids part. So I started in direct sales as well. And I think it's great training wheels for anyone, a great introduction to business. Plus, they do a lot of mindset work in yes. direct sales. So I think it's great training wheels. But I think you're right. In the long term, it doesn't always there's very few that actually make it in
yes.
that business. So,
yes.
And the kids part, I just opted out and had a bunch of dogs instead.
Well, with a new puppy this summer,
right.
Everybody always said, like, a puppy is like having a child. And I was like, oh, whatever. But now I have this puppy who I cannot stop talking about. And he, oh, my gosh, he's so expensive and he takes so much time. And he's with a treat in another room so he doesn't interrupt us. I'm like, Mommy has a podcast. You need to be quiet.
What kind of dog did you get?
He's a Shiba Inu and he's really quiet. So he, even if he was right here, you wouldn't hear him.
Aw, sweet. Yeah. Well, congratulations, new mom.
Thank you.
And let's dive into these questions here. I know organizing as a career is such a passion for so many, especially women, who they always seem to start out doing it for their family and friends for free, or they're totally addicted to HGTV. What are your thoughts on turning a passion into an actual business and a marketable career? What are the first actual steps people can take?
Well, I think, first of all, I want to say that it's a lot of work. Like, anytime you love doing something, even though I would go on organizing jobs and forget to get paid, just like I used to go on babysitting jobs and forget to get paid because I loved the work, It is work. Like, the actual organizing is super, super fun, especially if you're passionate for it. But finding people who can afford to pay a professional organizer, who know what a professional organizer is, working with people that don't have the same speed that you do, like some people work slower than you do or faster than you do, and you're the professional, you have to keep at their speed. Like, there's a lot of work to having it actually be a business versus just helping your friends get organized. So if I were giving somebody steps to start, the first three steps I would give them are, first of all, recognize that you can do it. Like, you have a skill that nobody else has or few people have, and it really is a skill and you really can help people. So you need to own that and know that you really have a special skill. And then the second one is to really dig in and find a community that you like and start researching. Like, there are different organizations that you can group. You can join. My group is a free group, which is why I started it. There are lots of books that are out there on starting a professional organization business. There are a couple of courses out there on doing it. And then three is just start. I mean, you're never going to be fully prepared. You just have to start.
Right. I totally agree with the just start part, especially the organizers I work with, they're so caught up in the details because they're, you know, they're kind of the perfectionist mentality that gets attracted to that business. And they get so caught up on their logo and their business cards and all these things that don't really matter, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
So I'm like, to go get a client, you don't even need a business card. They're going to put you in their phone anyway.
They're unorganized people. Are they going to find the business card later? Probably
You're just
not.
Adding to their paper clutter.
Yes.
Stop giving out business cards. So, yeah. So I love those tips there. And what do you see as the biggest challenge to professional organizers, or any entrepreneur for that matter, growing their business, and how they can overcome those issues that we see all the time from new entrepreneurs?
So I really think it's two things. One would be for the beginning organizer, and then the other would be for someone, an organizer, or anybody who's established in a business. So for a beginning organizer or somebody who's just starting their entrepreneurial journey, I think it is focusing on what you should focus on. Like, you know, you get all obsessed with the business card, like you said, mm-hmm. and you could spend, you know, 3 days on that, whereas you really should spend 30 minutes, order it from Vistaprint and move on and mm-hmm. change it later. And the second part of that for the newer person is just the confidence in yourself, knowing that, oh my gosh, it's worth it to charge more than $10 an hour to organize somebody. Like, you're not going to start at $60 or $75 an hour, but you shouldn't start at $10 an hour either. And just knowing that you're worth that money and having the confidence to ask for it. And then I thought about this question from someone who's maybe been in business for 2 or 3 years, which is kind of where I am. I'm at 3.5 years in my business. And I find the thing that I struggle with the most is staying focused on my goals, because I'm around so few people who are really as entrepreneurially minded as mm-hmm. I am. And I don't know anybody who's grown their business beyond where mine is today. Not that my business is super, super huge, but like, I have a professional organizing team. I have 2 podcasts and 2 websites. And I don't know anybody who is building a bricks and mortar, like you said, business and an online business at the same time. I know nobody. Mm-hmm. So every goal I'm setting now is a goal that I'm setting just from my, you know, listening to so many great podcasts and what other people are doing. But I'm no longer in the realm where I can ask my friend or ask somebody locally, hey, what did you do next in your business? So I think that that is definitely a challenging area as you grow these kind of businesses.
Right. That yours is so unique, you don't really see any models out there that you can perhaps follow or get some coaching from or mentoring from.
Yeah, so I jump industries, which is why I say any entrepreneurship. Mm-hmm. Like, I look at somebody else as like, okay, there's somebody out. Oh, darn, I can't think of his name. Oh. He's got a great book. He's out in on the East Coast, and he has a plumbing company. But then they grew an online portion of that too. So like, I'm looking at him like, okay, how did he do a service business that way? And using that as a mentor to go forward in my own industry.
Yeah, I think that's great advice that hasn't been brought up on this show yet. Maybe with my private clients it has, but to when you, like, say you have a bunch of life coaches and they're all in a mastermind together, they're going to start sounding and doing the same marketing as each other, and it's just a bunch of group speak. And so if you can look into other industries, like maybe the life coach should go hang out with some accountants or ballet dancers for a while to get some new ideas on marketing, or just get some a new set of eyes or a breath of fresh air on it.
Right, yeah. Exactly.
And I wanted to ask you, you have a fairly active and large Facebook community, and I know that right now all the big gurus out there are saying, have a Facebook group, get a Facebook group, you know, and it's really hot right now. So what specific actions did you take to grow your group? And how, it's one thing to grow it, but then how do you get people to be active and participate and share the community and invite their friends? How did you go about doing all that?
So that is such a great question. I started my Facebook groups 2 years ago, and I'll tell you about both of them because they're very different. So I have one for Organized 365, which are the women that are organizing their personal homes. And then I have Professional Organizers Think Tank, which is for people who want to become or grow their professional organization business. And I started them at about the same time. So the reason I started them was right when Facebook made that algorithm change and they stopped showing your posts that were on your Facebook page. And I didn't have the money to advertise yet. So I did groups instead and moved everybody over to the groups if I could. So the Organized 365 one grew pretty quickly, and the interaction was, I don't know, 1 to 3 posts a day. People would ask questions, and it's organically grown. Then the Professional Organizer Think Tank one was started by myself and another professional organizer. We were new at professional organizing, but we saw the power of growing a team of organizers and really growing professional organization. And at the time, we couldn't find a free community to talk to other professional organizers. You had to be a member of an organization to talk to other people, or it was all local meetings in person. We both had kids. We couldn't we couldn't do that. So we created the online community really so we could chat back and forth. And so the people we met at conferences, we could add them into this group. Well, it wasn't until 18 months later, last summer, when the professional, or a year ago, I guess now, when the professional organizer group all of a sudden boomed. Like, I mentioned it on my blog, and all of a sudden the traffic comes to that group. Now, both groups have about 3,500 people in it. The Organized 365 group is a lot of my posts and my asking questions and people asking me questions. It's not very organically interactive amongst the people very much. The Professional Organizer Think Tank group, it was like, oh my gosh, where has this been? You know, what do you wear to a meeting? How do you protect yourself if you're scared? How do you, what do you put in your work bag? How'd you come up with a name? Can you like my page? I mean, I go in there and there are 20 new conversations every single day. That was just a matter of filling a need and waiting. Like, it took 18 months before it really started to take off. But the last 12 months, it's been growing a lot. And then I think that that one does better than the other one because the Professional Organizer Think Tank is a very, very niche community. Like, organizing your home is a very broad topic. Right. Becoming a professional organizer is very niche. And then also, I have pretty strict rules on it. Like, I don't let other coaches promote their business. We don't promote any of the paid programs that are out there unless I've personally taken them, so that at least there's a little bit of accountability, that everything in that group is really just about asking your questions and getting them answered for free.
And so it's just organically that they are being active and participating because they've been starving so long for a community like that.
Yes.
On the organizer side.
Yeah. And so I think the other thing that I did that's unique to my group is for 18 months, I didn't do anything. And then last summer when it really started growing, I thought, okay, number one, this is taking a lot of my time and I should monetize it in some way. And the other thing I thought was a lot of the same questions keep getting asked over and over and over again. And I'm going to spend 20 hours a week answering the same questions. So in January, I started the Professional Organizers Think Tank podcast. And I just started answering everybody's questions in podcasts so I could then link those and answers, because every single day people join that group and go, oh my gosh, I didn't know this was a profession. I want to be one. How do I start?
Yeah.
So I'm like, great. Here's copy and paste how you start, and just get them started that way.
That's perfect. You're maximizing your time as well.
Yeah, and I really love it. Like, it's really, really fun.
Yeah, they are very active in there. I've poked in and out of the group, and we'll put all the links in the show notes in case anyone is listening and is interested in any of your groups or we'll talk about your website and everything later, but all these links are going to be at ericaduran.co/37. And Lisa, thank you so much for all your wisdom today. Are you ready for our WikiWiki round?
I am.
Okay. Well, first we're going to break for our sponsor that makes this all possible. Want to design your own freedom-based luxury lifestyle? To get started, you can apply for my complimentary Aloha strategy session. Aloha, I'm Erica Duran, a freedom-based luxury lifestyle designer and high-level business coach and mentor. This complimentary Aloha strategy session is right for you if you're tired of piecing together all that free stuff online and you're ready to implement your own systems and unique way of living and working. You desire to work productively from anywhere in the world and achieve that laptop lifestyle, but you don't want to spend all your time chained to your desk. And you are so done being baffled by technology. You want to earn at least $5,000 to $20,000 per month consistently in your consulting, coaching, training, or other entrepreneurial venture. You see other people charging premium prices for their programs and services, and you just can't seem to crack that code. You desire a high-level coach to peel back the curtain and share all her secrets. Does any of this sound like you? If so, I'd love to invite you to take advantage of this limited time offer today and apply for your complimentary Aloha strategy session with me by going to ericaduran.co/aloha. A lifestyle of freedom and luxury is waiting for you, so let's not waste any time. Never settle. Mahalo. Want to partner with me? Would you like to get your business showcased in front of thousands of productive-minded lifestyle entrepreneurs and travelers? Why not become a sponsor of The Erica Duran Show, freedom-based lifestyle design radio? Go to ericaduran.co/sponsor to see if this partnership is right for you. Mahalo. Okay, we're back, Lisa, and we are ready for the WikiWiki round. Wiki means quick in Hawaiian, so this is our lightning round here.
Great.
Now, what are you? Well, this is a loaded question for an organizer, but what are your three favorite tools that you're using right now? Apps or physical tools or anything? You can say anything.
Okay, well, my first is pen and paper because I love to make lists and goals and schedules. And, you know, there is something to writing things down that helps you. So I love pen and paper.
So funny. That's the most popular answer this show. I don't know if I'm attracting that because I've used a paper planner since I was 15 and still do, or it's the truth.
Well, maybe people are finally going back to realizing that, okay, all these apps are great, mm-hmm. but, you know, we just like we're not going to get rid of paper, it still needs to be organized. We're not going to get rid of making to-do lists on paper.
Right. Perfect.
So my second one is my iPhone. I got it a couple years ago, kind of late. And I love that because I can, when I'm in the car picking up a kid or I'm out back with the dog, I can monitor comments on my blog, look at the email that's come in, comment on Facebook so that when I'm at my computer, I could do focused work and not all that busy work. Mm-hmm. And then my third one is a Chromebook. My computer, like, I don't know, did something crazy, and I didn't want to buy a new computer. I wanted to fix this one. Mm-hmm. But I realized a Chromebook, which is a couple $100s, will do almost everything a computer will do except for Skype, which we need right now, and a couple other things. But it does almost everything, and it's like a tablet in a computer form. I love my keyboard. So you open it up and it turns on right away. You don't have to wait for everything to load. You're right on the internet and you have the keyboard there. I just love my Chromebook. Oh. And it has an 8-hour battery.
Wow. So that's so funny. I didn't know it didn't do Skype. That's kind of weird.
Yeah, it doesn't do Skype. You can't download other programs. Like I can't do video editing on there. You can't save very much on there. And there's one other thing. Oh, print. You can't print from your Chromebook. Unless you buy a separate printer. But other than that, I could do everything on my Chromebook.
It's funny. One of the really active members in one of my former VIP clients is Stacey Erickson, and she just loves her Chromebook and won't stop talking about it. So I think it's funny organizers are gravitating towards that. And I love that when you gave these answers, you gave a little bit of reasoning behind it and how you use the tool. A lot of people just rattle off the tools. So that's really helpful. Thank you. And let's see, what are your three best pieces of advice for new or struggling entrepreneurs?
So I think number one is you have to figure out your brand. So that's the only kind of coaching I do now. I just do one coaching call where I help people figure out their brand, because unless you know the target you're trying to reach, you could do a lot of things in vain. So figuring out your brand is number one. Mm-hmm. Number two is to hire help for multiple reasons. One, it helps you stop doing the things you shouldn't be doing, but also it makes you be way more productive because, one, you have to earn the money to pay the help.
Right.
And two, it helps you focus on your higher level tasks. And then the third one is to listen to awesome podcasts like this that are really inspirational and help you think at this higher level of an entrepreneur when you may not be surrounded by any in your local area.
Oh, thank you. And let's see, do you happen to have any free gifts or opportunities for the listeners?
I do. I have two. I wasn't sure, you know, if you're listening to this podcast, if you are identifying with this because, oh my gosh, your house is unorganized and you would really like to get your house organized, as mine is too. I mean, there's nobody living in a personal house. Or if you're like, oh, professional organizer, I'd like to be that, which of course with Erica, you've probably already thought about that before. So there'll be two links that we're giving you, but one is for my free Sunday planning printables, which will help you plan your week so that you could start to organize your house. And the other one is a free ultimate business getting started as a professional organizer checklist. It has the 8 big things that you need to put in your business as a professional organizer and then bullet points under each one. So like business card is a bullet point under one of those 8 things, but you could see in that list, even if you've already started your business, like what areas are you doing well at and what areas do you need to really add a little bit of work to.
Well, thank you. Those are very generous and for both sides of the coin here. If they're house is a mess or they want to get into business.
Yes.
And you know what, guys, I wouldn't, even if you're not thinking about organizing as a business, still, I'm sure this business guide could apply to almost any solopreneur, entrepreneur business. I had a Q&A call the other day with a bunch of entrepreneurs, and a lot of them, of course, were organizers because I used to be one, blah, blah, blah. But the themes that came up are universal. It was valuing their work. It was a lot of questions on positioning. Positioning yourself as an expert so you're not the one in the garage doing all the actual organizing. You're standing with the client, talking to them through their emotional things and attachments to their things and setting up systems. You're not necessarily the one putting the labels on everything. So there was a lot of same concepts issues that are coming up for a lot of entrepreneurs, not just organizers. So I bet Lisa's guide is perfect to download even if you're not thinking about organizing. I'm sure it's a very organized, organized free gift here.
Yeah, it's a nice printable. It's a 1-page checklist. I think there are like 87 items on there if you count them all up. And it's really fun to print it off and check off all the things you've already done. Just don't stop there.
Right. And then, so what's the best URL for people to find you then?
So I blog daily at organize365.com. That's where all my social media links and everything are. And then I have a separate website for professional organizers called pottank.com for Professional Organizer Think Tank.
Perfect. And what's, just because I'm curious, what's your favorite social media platform?
Okay, I'm terrible. Like the very first person I ever hired was somebody for Pinterest. I was like, okay, there's this thing called Pinterest and it's really good for bloggers and I don't get it. So I hired somebody to do social media 3 years ago. It was my very first hire. Uh-huh. I don't do any of my own pinning, tweeting, or Instagramming. Like she does it all for me, but I do my own Facebooking.
Okay.
So if you want to talk to me, I'm on Facebook in those groups and only in those groups.
Okay. Well, you've took out all the distractions of your own, time being sucked up by social media.
Yes, and I'm very open about the fact that those pins are not my pins. I say it all the time because I want Courtney to get all the credit. But I mean, she's done a great job curating all these boards and lots of fun organizing ideas over there. I just am never there.
Right. Well, that's kind of interesting because most organizers I talk to can't get off Pinterest to save their life. They're just so glued to it. So that's interesting that you're delegating that piece.
Well, you want to know why? Because it's kind of funny. I like Pinterest. It's really fun. Like, you can go over and search for something, you get all these choices. But see, I'm an action-oriented person, and I am not detail-oriented at all. So I'm like, okay, I'm going to search for Halloween ideas. So I search for Halloween ideas. I'm like, oh, that's cute, that's cute, that's cute. So I start pinning them. But in my mind, I'm putting them on a mental to-do list. Mm. So by the time I pin number 5, I'm getting a migraine and feeling stressed out because when am I going to do these 5 tasks?
Right.
So for me, it's not a fun activity because everything I ever write on a list or put anywhere, I actually do. So Pinterest doesn't work if you're a big action taker.
I hope you have a really luxurious vision board then on your Pinterest if that's how you get things done. If you make a mental to-do list, I would highly recommend having my dream lifestyle board.
Oh, that's a good idea.
Yeah.
I'll actually pin something.
Yeah, because then if it's on your to-do list, it's, you know, the big picture. It's what you're really going after.
Right.
Yeah. So thank you so much for being here today and all your great tips and free gifts and everything. It was great to have you.
Thank you so much, Erica.
Okay, take care. I'll talk to you soon.
Bye.
Bye. Pauhana Escape Artist's work is done on this episode. I hope you enjoyed meeting Lisa. She gave some great advice about starting a brand new business that stems from your passions. And I really appreciate that she was open to sharing about how she built her Facebook group. My own group had a slower than I'd prefer start, but what was funny, after I got rid of a lot of people that weren't ever participating, the group really started to grow and interact more. So I guess what we can learn from that is that there is clutter in every area of our lives, even our Facebook group, and we need to clear that out, and that size doesn't really matter in some cases. Small groups have been very active. Small email lists can bring in a lot of money. So in this case, size doesn't matter as much. All the links we mentioned in this episode can be found at ericaduran.co/37. Including all those links for Lisa's free gifts that she's giving out for our listeners. That was so generous of her to give so many awesome gifts. Mahalo for listening. Ahui ho. Until we meet again, sending you aloha.
Thank you for listening to the Erica Duran Show, freedom-based lifestyle design radio. Be sure to go to ericaduran.co to get all of this episode's show notes and resource links. And while you're there, don't forget to subscribe. Never settle. Mahalo.